Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. It is noon on a Wednesday, so it is Hutton o'clock. Welcoming in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate chatting with you every week. What's your impression of this Saints team going into week one?
I hope everyone's doing well. Football time is upon us. I laugh, Caroline, because I was asking the same question to a buddy of mine last night. Because, look, this is a Titans team that we really didn't see offensively in the preseason because the offense goes through Derrick Henry. That's number one. And we didn't see much of what New Orleans is going to be either. Up front is going to be the key to everything, offensive line. Because I think we look at the receiving core, looks pretty good. Derek Carr, pretty good. I mean, a chance to rejuvenate and refresh what was an okay career in the regular season out in Oakland. Now a chance to take a big leap forward after playing in one playoff game. But they also don't have Kamara for the first couple handful of games here. So, yeah, I mean, a defense that was underrated a year ago, not really thought about as one of the tops in the league, but statistically they were. And I think it was just the division that they played in that got the glance over, the look over. I'm intrigued because this should be an improved Saints team that has been an afterthought of for the offseason. And it's a quarterback situation that should be. I gave the answer. I don't know if you guys agree. I'll toss it around here. But I was asked, who's this year's version of Geno Smith? And I said Derek Carr. Just because of you don't really think about the guy right now. And while Geno Smith is a example that's an incredible story that I don't know if Carr would qualify last year if we had the same answer. This year, I do feel like he could take the league by storm over the first quarter of the season if he comes out and is throwing the ball around, pitch and catch to Olave and others.
Interesting that you say that, because we were throwing this around before you hopped on. That's kind of the X factor of, you know, Kamara, Michael Thomas coming back, but really what is he at this point in his career? But Derek Carr is the unknown of what he looks like in this offense. What he does for this team, has he elevated this team, has being just in a new environment made, you know, given him a new perspective, given him new motivation for his career? And at what point are you just, you are what you are?
Well, and that's all fair. And I think it's a little bit of both, you know, like,
yeah,
he's been paired with great receivers. He's been paired with good offensive coaches. I find it interesting too that John Gruden has been kind of an analyst, an extra set of eyeballs for Dennis Allen in New Orleans this offseason. Not every day, but he's been down to observe things in the Big Easy just to see what worked and what didn't, and tell the coaching staff that about Carr specifically. So, look, I think that no preseason work. And to see where the Titans are, I feel the same way about what we're going to see quarterback-wise in New Orleans. This is not – I expect it to be much more of what was working for him, not last year but the year before. And we saw the best of him the same year that Mariota was playing well, when they both broke their leg, their ankle, on the same day in like week 16, week 17.
Now, Hutt, Alvin Kamara is out for what, four to six games, somewhere around there. I think it's the lesser.
Three games.
So, but we don't look at this Saint offense, I think, the way we should, because I think they may be a little bit better from this standpoint. Jamal Lewis is no slouch. The kid had 17 touchdowns last year. He had over 1,000 yards. So, I mean, this is a situation for the Saints where, yes, not having Alvin Kamara, who is a huge part of your offense, is a loss, but you're replacing him with a 1,000-yard rusher, a guy that has 17 touchdowns, and a guy before last year, he can get you you know, 300-400 yards a season receiving. So I think a lot of people are missing the picture. Yes, Alvin Kamara isn't there, but they've replaced him with somebody that's a little bit younger and have put up numbers.
Well, and he 1,000 yards, 17 touchdowns. That was an NFL high last season in Detroit. I mean, you're right about the numbers. Again, New Jersey, new coordinator, new quarterback, and I think they replace Kamara. They knew Kamara was going to get suspended. The question was for how long, because they signed him before Alvin Kamara pleaded no contest and settled things out in Vegas. So the uncertainty there allowed them to go out and get Williams, and now they've got the plug and play guy. Maybe not as flashy as what Kamara can do in all facets, but a guy that can serve in that role and be a version in different areas on the field. So, look, they've done a nice job in trying to seal the flex seal approach, where you slap the tape on the hole, right?
Dude, that stuff really works. We don't know if that stuff really works.
I've never tried it.
Exactly.
I've never tried it. The commercial.
I trust Phil Swift, okay? That's all I know. And that's in essence what they've done with Williams, who was, speaking of Swift, working beside Swift in Detroit, so who's now in Philly. So I think it's an approach that could work. We don't know. And honestly, I think these teams are very similar in that description. The Titans, what they've done this offseason could work. We don't know. And Carr has to just come in and click. That's very hard to do in one offseason. But, I mean, Rodgers is also trying to do it in New York. There's a handful of teams that believe they can pull it off. And I find it interesting who New Orleans and who Dennis Allen has invited in to try to make sure Carr is happy and content.
Well, I've said about Carr before you got on, Hutt. I said I think he will have a better season, you know, in regards to his mental approach, because, you know, in Vegas, it just seemed like that thing with he and the head coach never worked out the way that many thought it would. So much so that it wasn't a security for him at the quarterback position. I think now when he comes to a new situation, he feels some type of security here where he's not looking behind him waiting to see if he's going to be replaced. I think that in itself, from a mental standpoint, makes you a better quarterback in a different situation.
Well, and he feels wanted, you know, that's the other thing. And he's the guy in charge. And the other thing, Mace, tell me if I'm crazy here. I think part of the fresh start aspect is there were times in post-game press conferences, and I'm just reading through the camera here. I'm not in the locker room. None of us were. But there were times where he was really the only guy who gave a damn. You know, and it was just kind of awkward at times. He was the leader. He's not like Butch Jones, who's over emotional, over the top, and it's just like it feels very forced. But it was also just kind of I think he was more upset that he was the only one that was upset in some situations, and it just didn't pair well with the new regime, and you know, knowing that Gruden was out. I'm not even really sure if he wanted Gruden out. Half the team probably did, half the team didn't. We know the owner did. It was just very awkward. And then McDaniels, the pairing just wasn't right. So I'm also just fascinated to see if the real Derek Carr is the version that ended in Oakland or the version that was really pretty good and that a team around him kind of bought into until he broke his leg. And if that's the guy, then New Orleans is going to win the division there pretty easily.
More with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week, Colorado against Nebraska, presented by Twin Peaks. That's DeMace's team, the Buffs.
Hey, I'm going to pick him again.
It is. Put him in the driver's seat.
Exactly, but I'm not going to pick him this week because it's like a 3-point spread one way or the other. So
you'll have to find another source.
Life comes at you fast. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest non-conference games across the country. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, joins us now.
Okay, Hutt, this is an interesting one for me. To me, this is a big theme for the entire week. Both teams are middle of the pack. I would say, you know, not considered powerhouse rosters if everything goes well. But both kind of have that same outlook in that they're probably among the easier schedules on the season. I see a lot of people picking the Saints to win that division, not because they're great, just because the division's weak. And unlike the AFC South, where the Jaguars are really a sexy pick, the NFC South doesn't have a team like that. The Saints are a flawed roster, but they've got good players. So all that to say, this is a big swing game. This is a really interesting test because this game at the end of the year could be the difference between 9 and 10 wins, say, for either one of them, and maybe a playoff berth.
Could be, yeah. And you know, the Saints are what you just said, Willie, the Saints and every team in the division is looking at it the same way. From a scheduling standpoint, because they play the AFC South. That's the crossover division. And the AFC South is looking at it the same way because they play the NFC South, right? Like, both are pointing at each other for that reason. Look, it's also, too, it is a very interesting just start to the season against an NFC opponent, because we have seen now back-to-back years against NFC opponents, the Titans just start very slow. And I think, more than anything, against a Saints team that I think wants to push the pace, especially if they feel like they're the ones that were smarter than anyone else that lured Derek Carr and not the other quarterbacks there, that they've got the QB that's going to right the ship, that they have decent skill position weapons that are either guys like Chris Olave who are going to turn into a household name, or Alvin Kamara, who's coming back and is ready to live up to the type of money that he's getting compared to other running backs. And while you don't go position by position and say they're well-rounded like the Jets, they do have the division. They do have the dome. They have aspects, and now they have the quarterback to point to reasons why not only do they win the division, they win it easily. Now, it hasn't just been an easy division, though. In recent years, they've kind of beaten up on each other while other teams outside the division have thumped them as well. But it is a team that can certainly be better record-wise, I think, than how they actually are when playoff time rolls around.
I was looking at the Saints defense. I think overall we have a pretty good image. It's been a good defense over the last several years.
Yes.
It's a really interesting test for the Titans' new offensive line because – they've got good pass rush. They've had success. There's a couple of different pieces along the defensive line for the Saints. They're also an effective blitz team. So I wonder about pickups. I wonder about Tajay Spears. If he's in the game in a third down, he's got to pick up a blitz. I think this is a really stiff test, I think, in week one for a brand new group. It would have been regardless of who they played, but especially because of the Saints.
No doubt. I think it's a great point, and I think ultimately – it's where my eyes will be tuned into if things go awry, because I think if the Titans come out and look really bad, it starts with what you just described. So week one, and I've mentioned this, Willie, the last couple of years, they've just been really just lethargic is how I would describe it. Last season in week one, 50% of the league scored 20 or fewer points in that week. The average total points combined in week one was 42 points. The Titans have only scored 49 total points across their last three season openers, 49 total. And so this leads to what you're saying with offensive line firing off the football. We have a ton of questions about that will begin to be answered. And number two, that defines their identity. That defines Derrick Henry, who, once again, we have not seen in the preseason. I'm not an advocate for trying to get him hurt. I understand you protect your identity, but we don't know if the identity's back because they lost it last year at the end of the year with the offensive line play, and they've replaced everyone. But Henry, over the last two season openers, he has 38 carries combined for 140 yards. That is not the Titans' offense. They have to build to that as the season progresses. instead of leaning on that to win football games early. And I think this is a Titans offense that has to just hit the ground running. And there's no confidence level for me that they'll do that. In fact, even when I think they're going to be pretty good or will win the division, I'm picking Jacksonville, they still come out a bit sluggish in week one. It's an NFC opponent. Tiebreakers here won't factor in for a while down the road if they actually get to that. But I do feel like it is going to be a chance for us to view what they have seen behind the scenes. Either they're extremely worried and concerned about this offensive line makeup, and Dillard was in there into the third quarter for a reason, the final game 14 days ago, or we're sitting here going, man, the guys that they signed to replace some of the starters who were backups for other teams, they're a lot like Al-Shaair, who looked the part. We just didn't see it in the preseason because they weren't blocking for Henry. That's really the game to me, is up front and how they handle a Saints front that was good against the run and did a nice job keeping points off the board. And in week one, the Titans normally do that to themselves.
Here's a stat that absolutely blew me away, guys. We have this image of the Titans defense of when they've got everybody, they're really good. When they were 7-3 last year, before the injuries really set in, the Simmons ankle injury where he played but he wasn't the same guy, and then one by one they all started dropping like flies. That's my image of them. So they had a lot of hardship last year, but how about this? Bill Barnwell introduced this today, and I didn't realize this. Maybe you have, Hutt. Last year, the Titans faced the primary passer for their opposition in 99% of plays. In other words, they didn't get hardly any games where the other team's quarterback was hurt. They didn't face Josh Dobbs. They didn't face a backup quarterback here. By contrast, so that was the most in the league. Nobody was nobody had that. The next closest was the Colts. I mean, the quarterbacks in the league, other than, or in that division, other than Tannehill, stayed relatively healthy for a while. But the Bengals faced the primary passer only 54% of the time. That's a huge difference. My goodness. But all that to say, if they get a little luck with that, and if you look at the caliber of quarterback they were facing last year, they faced, you know, they faced Burrow, they faced Mahomes. Herbert, they faced Mahomes. I mean, it's Lawrence. A much different category this year in difficulty. That has me a little hopeful that with a little bit of luck, they could really statistically be way, way better defensively.
I mean, and they were really good. They were elite level. Although I would say
even playing against those, even with the
elite level for me through the Kansas City game last year, to me, that's where it kind of dropped off after that performance. And it just, let's just spitball though. Like, I mean, this is what people would do at a bar, Willie. I mean, look at the quarterbacks they're facing to begin the season. Carr, Herbert, Watson, Burrow,
Lamar,
Richardson, and the Lamar Jackson. Those are the first six games.
But it changes a lot after that, though.
Sure it does, yeah. But the first six, like, so this goes back to just starting fast. The Titans don't have to start fast by scoring 30 points. They just need to be able to score when they need to score. You know, 16 points just isn't going to cut it Sunday. But 16, the Titans defense, what's frustrating when what you're describing, the Titans defense is holding Kansas City to 17. You know, and they're losing games. So, or holding Kansas City to 20 and they're losing games. So that's where the offense just needs to possess the football and keep the, regardless of what's going on the opposite sideline. But it is a huge advantage when you face teams and when you don't. And I think in the Titans perspective, just again, sitting here like we're at a bar talking some ball, the quarterback's out of the chute. Can the Titans match those offenses with quarterbacks that should be in rhythm and in tune with what they're doing and an offense that should be clicking? No excuses for Deshaun Watson anymore. Joe Burrow is Joey B. He's ready to go. We believe Carr will at least be the Derek Carr of 2021, not 2022. We'll see. And Justin Herbert can spin it. They just don't have a defense. So can the Titans defense play to the really good, great slash elite level? I think they can. I think they have an elite front seven. to begin the year. And can Tannehill work off the play action and Tim Kelly be the savior that in play calling that's thinking two or three plays ahead instead of trying to guess what the defense is going to line up and do? All that being said, maybe things even out, maybe they don't. I've said that about the Titans injuries too. Maybe they even out, maybe they don't, but we haven't seen that recently either.
Now, Hutt, you bring up their defense and out of, well, just their team, period. But two out of the last 3 years, they've been in the negative when it comes to point differential. Last year, I think they were -3. Year before that, they were in the red. But the year before that, which was the year they went to the AFC Championship game. That's when they lost in the first round. They were +11. Can they continue this sort of trend of them not getting turnovers as good as their defense is if they want to continue to be a playoff team? Because even last season before, they were in the red, but because there were no injuries at the quarterback position, they were able to make it to the playoff. Now, last year was a lot different, and they still were in the red. So this year, can they, make it to the playoffs if indeed they end up in the red again?
Man, I don't feel that they will, no. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the defense, Mace, mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. Like, we need
because
more
the defense is so good up front that it's not showing up from a turnover standpoint as far as them getting turnovers.
I view it, though, in many ways. How many three and outs would constitute a turnover for the offense?
Yeah.
Like, a ton of three and outs last year. Mm-hmm. And so they're playing a lot of snaps. They're already a couple men down for the average of the season. Let's just say that defensively. And so while they're getting a stop and giving the ball back to their offense, it's not like they're getting over to the sideline for a 7-minute break before they have to go and, try to use the analogy again. They slap the tape on the hold and just try to get the ball back. The offense has to do its part, too, in time of possession. That's also part of the Titans' rhythm and philosophy. And the penalties by the offensive line a year ago set them back. You knew it was going to be a three and out if they had one of those. Sacks allowed. There were games where Tannehill wasn't in there, so that certainly adds to it at the line of scrimmage. I think the offense must also do its part, but I hear what you're saying on the picks. This is not a secondary that's known for that. It's a secondary that is built around a stout front. And as long as they're getting to the quarterback when they should and how quickly they should, the secondary will look light years better. But it's not a secondary that's going to give you 5 or 6 takeaways over the first 3 quarters of the season. We haven't seen that. In fact, the only guy that's been doing that on the routine has been Byard, and a lot of that is, across the middle of the field. If it's on the outside, the receivers that we've seen, even Bunting, he's good, adequate, but he's also not known as being that guy in Tampa. So does that pick up with the pass rush? We didn't see it at the beginning of last year. We didn't see it at the beginning of the season before. And maybe some guys ascend to that level. I like players on contract years. I like Fulton on a contract year, but it doesn't mean he's going to become Deion Sanders all of a sudden.
Last one before we let you go, Hutt, and quickly, simply, what's the key for the Titans on Sunday?
Just identity. Get back to that. Because, look, as much as I harp on the week one performances, Arizona, they had no shot. They came out flat. Last year, they can argue they can win that game as bad as they played against New York. This will be a Titans win if they make this an ugly line of scrimmage game. Can they do that with this group? I absolutely firmly believe they can on defense. And how does Carr respond to that with the new system that he's in and tailored to him, I should say. But on the flip side, the uncertainty. We need to see the starting offensive line that's fully healthy come out playing well and protecting their quarterback, but more importantly, establishing the identity of the Tennessee Titans. They got away from that. They lost 7 straight. We know how things played out. New group, it needs to be old school Titans, Vrabel, Tim Kelly, and what we're seeing in the run game. And that, when I say old school, it goes through 22. This needs to be a 22 game and a week one performance where he's back on the scene and the Titans look like the Tennessee Titans to start last season prior to all the injuries.
Well said, Hutton. Appreciate you as always. Have a good one. We'll chat next week.
Always enjoy this. We got through August and week one is here. Finally.
We are here. Finally, Hutton. Appreciate you.
Thanks,
we'll react
guys.
To what Jonathan Hutton had to say coming up next. And of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Sign up for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week one of the NFL kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports.